When I was just out of college a couple of years, I was living in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I was part of a great church called Westover Church. And one Sunday morning, the pastor, John Willett, he brought a family up in front of the church. And it was a family, it was a big family, it was a father and a mother and four or five children. And they were all sort of running around the skirts of their mom. And the man was an attorney in town in a respected law firm. And the pastor said that this family had been called to go on mission to China. And he said the Spirit of God had been leading them to go to China. And not only that, on an upcoming Saturday, he wanted the whole congregation to come out and go into their house because they were going to auction off all their stuff. And so the congregation was to go and buy all the furniture of this family because they were burning the ships. They'd been called to China for life, and they were selling all their stuff, and they were going. And I remember thinking at the time, I remember thinking, this is so intense. You know, I was a serious Christian at the time, but I also, I envied this family a little because they seemed to me to be on God's first string. They seemed to me to be the people that God, God had sort of involved in all of his action. And they, were going overseas. And even today, I think I can envy what I see sometimes going on someplace else or in somebody else's life. I can say to myself, where in fact am I being sent? I'm sent in the morning out to the driveway to get the newspaper, and I'm sent to my church office a few miles away from my house in the morning, and I'm sent out to lunch at midday, or I'm sent out to walk the dog down the street, something like that. It never seems like it's all that exciting. And sometimes I feel like it's a matter of power. I think of somebody like Billy Graham, the great evangelist, and he has a crusade, and all these people come to faith in Christ. And I have some friendships with some unchurched folks. I sort of say in my heart of hearts, why isn't God displaying his power more in those relationships? So I wonder about you. Now, I know everybody here is not a Christian, but if you have come to faith in Christ, how do you feel about where you've been sent? I think some of us feel like third stringers on God's team. We feel like we've been left out. And I think some of us think, well, maybe we just don't have the right gifts. God hasn't given us the gift of missionary. He hasn't given us some gift that's necessary to be on his first string squad. And I think one of the signs that so many of us are really uncertain about being sent is how comfortable we are doing things with other Christians. We gather for worship and fellowship, and we huddle in our small groups and in our Sunday school classes and in our Christian meetings. And these are all good things, but it's a matter of proportion. Where is that offsetting amount of activity in the church that is equal and full, that displays how we're all being sent? I know I feel sometimes more like a stay-in-here person rather than a sent person. And I wonder if you do too. See, I think what's underneath of it all is that we all doubt whether or not we've been sent or whether we've been sent in power. Well, we're in this sermon series today. It's called Fired Up, the Church and the Power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about this series, and I'm excited about this bulletin cover right here. I can tell you. Everybody got their bulletin cover? That's a great, great thing. Because, it's called Fired Up because in the first century, the Holy Spirit came to believers like tongues of fire. And did you know that red is the color of the Holy Spirit in the worldwide Christian church? And that's why I'm wearing my red church shirt today. I brought everything I got in my closet. I'm wearing my red shirt because our series is Fired Up. So I want to say to you, St. Giles Church, I want you to put on your sunglasses this morning because it's time to buckle up, get revved up, get geared up, pumped up, and all worked up because we're going to get fired up about the Holy Spirit today. Can I have an amen? All right. So what we're going to learn today is, and I think this is so important, it's this, that Jesus' disciples are sent in power. To be a disciple of Jesus means to be sent in power. So would you say that to me, with me this morning? I am sent in power. Will you say that? One more time. To be a disciple of Jesus means to be sent in power on his mission. Now again, I know everybody here is not a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, let me tell you why this sermon is also for you. The reason why some people are not Christians is because what Christians have done to them or around them in the name of the Holy Spirit. And so some of you, if you're not yet Christians, maybe you felt uncomfortable or you've had a hard time trusting Christians ever since. But I want to encourage you that we're on really solid ground this morning, because what we're going to learn is how Jesus understood the Holy Spirit. And if you are a Christian, this sermon, of course, is also for you. And I think it's for you because we're saying that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be sent in power. And some of you are saying down deep inside, not me. Some of you are, you know, looking around in the church or looking around outside of this church or somewhere in the world and saying, there are people out there who are super Christians. Jesus sends the elite, but he doesn't send me. That's why you need to hear this morning, Christian person, man, woman, son, daughter, child. To be a disciple of Jesus means to be sent in power on his mission. Nobody is left out. So today, what I want to do is read a Bible passage, and it's from John 20, verses 19 to 23. And I'd ask you to turn there in your Bibles. John 20, verses 19 to 23. Friends, this is God's word. It is absolutely true, and it is given to you in love. So the context for a Bible reading is, it's Easter Sunday. It's the same day Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, hear the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Amen. So Jesus has conquered the grave, even though some of the disciples don't know it yet. So they're huddled fearfully in the upper room, grieving Jesus' death and the apparent failure of his mission. And Jesus appears into this room where the doors were locked. And what does he do? He shows them his hands inside, and they're overjoyed. And then what does he do? He sends them out. Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So the first thing Jesus does after his resurrection, the first thing on his agenda is to send his disciples out. Now friends, this is not new for God to send his people. If you rewind the tape to the Old Testament, after God called Abram, later to be named Abraham, who would be a father of a great nation. After God called Abraham, he sent him out of Haran. God said, "You were blessed to be a blessing, so get out of here." And fast forward to the New Testament, every gospel writer has some version of Jesus sending the disciples out. In Matthew, it's the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Luke wrote both the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus says to his disciples, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And in Acts 8, the church is persecuted and then scatters, sharing the good news wherever they went. To sum up, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is sending his disciples out. And nobody is left out of that call and that mission. And in every version also, Jesus sends them in the power of the Holy Spirit. In our John text, it says, Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 22. So you might ask, what is going on here? What is Jesus doing? Well, this is what some scholars say is John's Pentecost. It's a preview of the broad Pentecost that we're maybe more familiar with in the book of Acts, recorded by Luke. Well, six chapters earlier in the book of John, in chapter 14, Jesus describes for his disciples what will happen at Pentecost. So back in John 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he leaves earth. He wants them to know. And so he says in verse 16, you know, he says, I'm leaving, but he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, the Spirit of truth. And Jesus goes on, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So maybe if you're one of Jesus' disciples at this point, you're kind of confused. Jesus, that sounds confusing. How will you leave us but still come to us? Well, verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He's saying to his followers, the Holy Spirit's going to come to you. It's good for me to leave. It's great for me to leave because you'll be better off. It's way better for me to be in you than to be walking beside you. And he says the Spirit is me in you. The Holy Spirit of God is Jesus in his disciples. So friends, I think you need to think of it this way. Consider two superheroes. You know, there's Batman and there's Spider-Man, right? And Batman is so cool because he has all the cool gadgets. He has the bat suit and the Batmobile and the bat phone and the bat cave. He has all the cool stuff. But Spider-Man, he has a few accessories also, but he's a superhero for an entirely different reason. Spider-Man got his spider power because he was bitten by a radioactive spider. Spider-Man got infused into his body the radioactivity of that radioactive spider. And so what happened was that Peter Parker's essential nature changed. And that's when he became Spider-Man. So do you see what Jesus is saying happens to Christians when they receive the Holy Spirit? Something outside of you or someone outside of you, alien to you, comes into you and changes you. And friends, if you think about it, this is phenomenal news. Because what Jesus is saying is, through the Holy Spirit, the crucified, risen, reigning Lord is living in you. He's united his own life to yours. I mean, I know preachers are prone to hyperbole, but think about it. You know, the Apostle Paul got all excited about it. In 2 Corinthians, he said, do you know that Christ is living in you? You know, the Holy Spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And friends, one of the things we need to see here is that this means there are no second stringers in God's mission. If you've trusted Jesus, the Holy Spirit as a gift from God the Father has come to dwell in you by faith. And that means everybody's in the game. Now Jesus is sending his disciples out in the power of the Holy Spirit, which he's breathed on them. John doesn't tell us where Jesus sent his disciples. But when the broad Pentecost came, first of all, in Acts 1 and 2, it says the Spirit came to all believers. And then Jesus it says in Acts 1:8, sent his disciples everywhere. Why do we say that? Because Jesus sent his disciples to Jerusalem. Where is that? That's close in. That's down the street. That's next door. He sent his disciples to Judea. Where is that? Well, that's the next neighborhood or town or region over. He sent his disciples to Samaria. Well, where is that? That's something cross-cultural. And he sent his disciples to the end of the earth. Where is that? That could mean overseas. So friends, Jesus is helping us see that to be a disciple means to be sent in power, everybody, everywhere. We're all in it. We're all sent in power. And there's one more thing. If you have trusted in Jesus, the Spirit is dwelling in you, and the Spirit has sent you out on Christ's mission. In today's text, verse 22, it says Jesus breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. Then it says in verse 23, if you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, it might seem a little out of place, that verse. What is Jesus doing? But think about it. Jesus has just died, and he's just risen to new life. He now breathes on the disciples, his Spirit. So it makes perfect sense that what he's doing is sending them on mission. Whose mission? His mission. What was Jesus' mission? On the cross, he atoned for sin. And at the empty tomb, he established his authority over sin and death. And so his mission is a mission of reconciliation and forgiveness. Reconciliation to the Father. So friends, first of all, this is great news, because that work is happening in you. You may be discouraged this morning. You may be all too aware of your sin. You may be all too aware of your failing. You may be all too aware of maybe how you're not a sent person. You may be all too aware of something that's happened in your home. You're failing as a mom or a dad, even on Father's Day. You're failing at work. You're failing with your words or with your heart or with your attitude or with your actions. You may have a relationship that's breaking down. You may have your finances that are in a hole. But Jesus is saying that when he breathed the Holy Spirit into you, he united his life to yours. And so there is something at work in you. He is putting your broken life back together again. He's redeeming it. The course is now set. And that course is the salvation of your life. And so I think, friends, what I feel that God has really been emphasizing to me this morning as I prayed about coming here for this moment, for this church, is that Jesus wants us to reclaim his intention for the church. And it's a matter of vision and faith. So Christian friend, are you willing to see that Christ is in you? And he's putting your broken life back together again. And he's sending you out to do the same for someone else. And are you willing to believe that he has sent you in power? He has sent you in the same power that raised him from the dead. See, faith is a gift, but faith is a muscle. And we have to exercise our faith muscles. And so I believe God wants us to grow in our seeing and our believing in the power of Jesus in you to send you. Well, you might ask, well, where am I being sent? Well, the place to start is not necessarily someplace new. See, God has sent us everybody, every place. And so the place to start is to repurpose the life you have now. You know, where has God sent you? What neighborhood? What workplace? Where do you go to play? Who do you know now? You're living where you live for a reason. You're working where you work for a reason. These are not accidents. God has sent you there. You prayed where you're going to buy a house. You prayed where you're going to work or where you're going to live or how you're going to volunteer or retire. you prayed about all that stuff. God has you there for a reason. He has you there because he has you there on mission. Those are the people and places to which you've been sent. And some of these things are so simple. At Community West, our church, one of our members felt called to go out door to door delivering a letter and speaking to his neighbors about his excitement about Jesus and our church. I'm not necessarily recommending that, but I'm saying he went because he felt prompted. Another member has felt she's been called to a certain coffee shop in West Richmond, and so she goes there many days regularly and has conversation with people who come in. And a member told me on Friday night that he felt he had been sent down the street this past week to a recently divorced neighbor to open up conversations with that neighbor about the love and mercy of God. Some of these things are so simple, and some of these things are so inconclusive right now because you're just a brick in the road and you're in the middle of somebody's story. You may not see how it all works out. So there's no triumphalism in this matter of being sent. It's just about seeing and believing that you're part of what God is doing in the world. So really, just in closing, I want to just commend to you a couple of practices. First of all, you know, St. Giles is such a praying church. I went in here and your prayer team prayed over me, and it was so beautiful and so meaningful to me. Will you pray, not only on the behalf of St. Giles, but Community West and Christ Church, all three churches, will you pray for a revival of the Spirit of God in our three churches? And I'm not talking about the extraordinary evidence of the Spirit, meaning healings. I'm talking about the ordinary evidence of the revival of the Spirit, which is to convict people of sin, convert them, and to assure them of forgiveness and eternal life. That is the sign of a revival in our midst. And secondly, we just join me in a practice of remembering. I feel a little silly in my bright red shirt up here today, but I did it for a reason. What I want you to do is wear something red for the rest of the series. Okay? Every day, wear something red. Not just at church, although I'd love to see a sea of red. I'm not going to be here next week, but I'd love to see a sea of red if I was here next Sunday morning. But wear something red. And it's not a gimmick. It's a reminder. I've actually, and you can look at it after I do the benediction, I've got on red shoestrings. And I have put these red shoestrings in, and I've been wearing them every day since this series began on June 4th. And when I bend over and put my shoes on and I look at those red shoestrings, I see and I believe I've been sent in power. And I can just sort of sense the power of the Spirit and the call of God on me. It sounds silly, but it's not. We can't see the Spirit, so we need visual reminders of the Spirit's presence. That's why the Spirit is called the forgotten God. And so I'm asking you first to pray for a revival of the Spirit in our churches, that many would receive forgiveness and salvation. And secondly, I'm asking you just to do this simple practice of, you know, wearing a little wristband or hang something from your rearview mirror that's red in your car, or put something on your bathroom mirror that's red, but something that you will daily see and remember that you have been sent in power on Christ's mission into the world. I can't think of any more exciting way to live. And I'm inviting you, along with our other churches, to do the same. Friends, remember, you've been sent in power on Christ's mission. Everybody, everywhere. Amen. Let's pray. To you, O God, be all honor, glory, and praise. To the Father, who sits on his throne. To the Son, our Redeemer. And to the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells in the church and sends us in power. All praise, honor, and glory to you. And, O great God, who is one in three, we pray that you would fall freshly upon this church and Community West and Christ Church in your mercy. We can't do it. It's your mission. Fall freshly in your mercy on our churches. For Christ's sake, and in whose name we pray, amen.